Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
In today's gospel reading, comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it goes like this. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going on to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the town called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, a whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many of us who have grown up in the church are very familiar with this text that we hear some version of every Palm Sunday. And if we were gathered in person, at least this is a tradition at St. Mark's, everyone, almost everyone, would be holding a palm, and we have this tradition of creating a palm arc down the aisle as the children process in. It is such a beautiful and celebratory scene, recognizing Jesus for who he really is. Not just someone teaching good teachings, but someone from God, royalty, our King, our Savior. There's a celebratory feeling and energy in the air, and it was such back then as well, 2,000 years ago, as you can see from the text, when it said that people were throwing their palms up in the sky and putting their jackets on the ground, which I imagine was dirty and muddy, so that Jesus could process forward, and people were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Of course, those of us who read it now, 2,000 years later, know that there is a dramatic irony to the story, is that Jesus, though praised and recognized as royalty, is actually marching to his death. And we remember that this Holy Week on Maundy Thursday, and of course, on Good Friday. And the people, especially the disciples, who had been following Jesus the last 3 years, should have had a little inkling, a clue, that perhaps Jesus wasn't going to be the king and the Messiah that the Jews had expected. But still, they had that hope that he would do what the Jews had been hoping for, which was to overthrow Roman occupation so that the Israelites could be the dominant power of the ancient Near East. Jesus had been teaching a different kingdom ethic, though. And the disciples tried to listen, but it didn't really register in their brains, and it wouldn't until he passed away. And that kingdom ethic was this, is that while we humans are desperate for a leader to make us more powerful and dominant over others by giving us a higher status, more possessions, more money, political domination, Jesus' kingdom ethic was about leveling the playing field and creating a community such as a circle rather than a triangle, a hierarchy. His ministry was about compassion, reaching those who were below the status of being reached, touching those who everybody says was dirty and untouchable, breaking all of the relational code, speaking with women and prostitutes. It was a very different kingdom that was centered on relational love with one another, despite your background or circumstances or status in life. And this was a teaching that was so provocative that would get him killed. Diana Butler Bass, in her book Grateful, discusses in the chapter that I know PB is discussing for this week, as that has been the book of this Lenten season, in the chapter Table Memory, discusses how after Jesus' death, the early Christian community really was about this circle, this table ethic, rather than the hierarchy that the Jews knew before the time of Jesus and after Christendom, when Constantine made Christianity the power of the ancient Near East and eventually the rest of the world. But for that brief moment in time, those ragtag group of Christians that the Romans looked down upon and the Jews thought were really strange were able to live out this beautiful ethic of sharing everything that they had and making sure that nobody went hungry, especially the people of the outskirts of society who would normally go hungry, like the orphans and the widows. And the leadership of the early Christian community wasn't like the leadership as it is now or was before Jesus, where somebody with higher status or more education or more degrees would get higher positions. The leadership of the early Christian community was based on the gifts that the Spirit gave to all members of the body of Christ. So some people had the gift of preaching, and some individuals had the gift of administration, and some individuals had the gift of service. And it was very apparent as these Christians lived together and shared everything that they had, and they lived out their leadership roles by their natural dispositions and gifts given by the Spirit who held the power. And this power didn't reside in one person, but it came from the Spirit of God and was most present in the gathered assembly of Christ, which we now call the church. And this is what Jesus meant before he left when he said, "And surely, though I have been feeding multitudes with two fish and five loaves, though I have been healing lepers and healing the blind, though I have been doing this and this and this and this, powerful deeds that you have never seen before, you will do greater things than this. Because he was saying that when we Christians gather together, the power that we have is so much more unimaginable than is displayed in any single person. And we see that from the creation of the church that grew and grew and grew, and still stronger than ever now, even 2,000 years later. There's an African proverb that some of you may be familiar with, and it goes like this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. But oh, how much easier it is to go alone. Oh, how much easier it is to go alone. I'm the type that likes to go alone. I was that kid in high school that hated group projects. I just wanted to do things by myself because it was so much more efficient to just do it by myself. I was also a nerd, so I was harder working, and I hated working with other kids who just didn't work as hard. So a lot of what I would say to them is just, you know what, I'll just take care of it and I'll put your names on it. It's just easier for me. I'll just do it by myself. It's harder to work together, even though we go farther together. You may, St. Mark's, know from my recent newsletter to all of you that I'm very much struggling with this social isolation during this pandemic. And I've been stripped of everything that helps me in my day-to-day life, juggling a full-time job and two children. And I was sharing to my husband that I just wanted to break the rules that the government and the CDC had recommended to all of us. I wanted to get a covert massage, call somebody up, and say, you know what, this is totally going to be under the table. I know all the massage places are closed down, but you and me, I'll pay you $200. I was going to rip the yellow taping around the playground just so my son could play in it and have something a little bit different than the house play that we normally do during this time. I want to see my friends and family. And my husband said to me, this only works, this sheltering in place only works if there's full cooperation. And if there are people like you who are breaking the rules and a lot of other people, then the number of those infected will just continue to rise, thereby hurting our economy even more in the long run. And most importantly, our medical system infrastructure. And they're already about to collapse because they're reaching a capacity that they can no longer contain or sustain. I hated him for saying that, but I knew that he was right. That though I could just go off on my own and do my own thing, because living in social isolation like everybody else is just too hard on my family, that this would actually hurt our community in the long run from healing and moving on from this pandemic. But that doesn't mean that I don't struggle with this. That after my husband reminded me of that, that doesn't mean that life got easier. And then I realized, for Jesus, while he was exerting a new power than the one that was expected of him, and that was a power for the people rather than a power over the people, he was actually showing us another kind of power as well. And that's a power with others. And that's a power too. A power to imagine under any kind of limitations and restraints given upon us. we all have a power to imagine beyond all of the constraints that have been put on us. And Jesus showed us that power in his own life as he imagined and created a new kingdom that had theretofore been unrecognized. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Is that in the past weeks, though it has been recommended for all of us to stay apart, this has not kept us Christians from supporting one another and being there for one another. We are utilizing our power not over, but in service of, and our power to imagine new possibilities in the face of so many constraints. A couple of members from our church, possibly after reading my letter, they might have thought Lydia's on a breaking point and we need to go help her out, and dropped off a hot meal at our doorstep with freshly baked desserts just to give us a break from everything that we're juggling. And not only did they drop it off for us, they dropped it off for their 90-something-year-old neighbor and several other congregants who they knew were struggling a little bit. And though they couldn't touch us or hug us, this was their way of connecting. This was their way of being creative in the midst of our social isolation. I know that people also are connecting and calling one another in ways that they have not done before. I hear about children's Zoom playdates, or parents who are struggling to get their kids to do their online classes have partnered with other parents and gotten Zoom so that the kids could do their homework next to each other through the computer. This is a way that we're creatively connecting with one another despite the constraints that we've been given. And even this collaboration between St. Mark's and Pacific Beach, under the constraints that we've been given, we were able to imagine a new way of being church and coming together that has never been done before, which is enriching so many of us. And I know it has been enriching the St. Mark's community because I've been hearing it from you all, emailing me saying how much you enjoy these services online. For the St. Mark's community this week, because we were not able to gather in person, and because you weren't able to hold the large palms that you normally do, although we have some palms adorning our altar this morning in remembrance of Palm Sunday, we did mail out to you the palm that you can hold in your hand that I hope many of you are holding right now as we celebrate Palm Sunday. And palms, which are a sign of royalty, ushering in royalty and power, may we remember the new kind of kingdom that Jesus displayed and showed for us and invites us into. A circular kingdom rather than a hierarchical one. And may we remember the power that Jesus invites us to exercise. Because each one of us has immense, immense power. And that is not a power over others, but a power for one another. A power with one another to accomplish and do things that have never, ever been imagined or thought were possible. And finally, a power to imagine even when constraints are put on us. It is especially important for us to remember that during this time. May it be so. Amen.
Friends, let us center ourselves in the spirit of prayer. Holy and gracious God, as we are gathered together this Palm Sunday, we remember your presence in our lives that doesn't take shape quite in the way that we anticipate. We remember that you enter our lives in subtle ways, that you enter our lives nurtured by the voices and the presence of others, that you enter our lives in ways that are so much more powerful than we might expect. As we enter into this holy week, as we anticipate the Easter celebration, give us the strength to receive the teachings of the Christ who would compel us to love one another. God, we lift up the prayers of this community. In particular, Diane asks for comfort for those who live alone during this time. We seek prayers for parents who are wrestling working from home while teaching young children who are at home. We lift up prayers for those who no longer have the opportunity to work. We lift up those who are experiencing hunger, both spiritual and physical. God, we lift up those who struggle with this time of distance. In particular, O God, we lift up those who are ill, those who seek your healing. We lift up prayers of comfort for those who have lost loved ones during this coronavirus and others who are in need of healing, that in our own challenges of dealing with this ourselves, that we remember our neighbors. God, we lift up our healthcare workers. We lift up our grocery store workers. We lift up our first responders. We lift up, O God, all of those who are on the front lines of caring for this culture, for this society, for this world. God, we lift up those who are showing compassion, who randomly drop off supplies to their neighbors, to their friends, to their clergy. Help us in this time of distance to know that you continue to connect us. You continue to strengthen us. You continue to call us. You continue, O God, to love us. We pray in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen.